Americans produce more plastic waste than any other people on the planet. Per capita, over 230 pounds a year. Three quarters is dumped in landfills, where it can take up to 5 centuries to decompose. Only a small fraction is actually recycled, and it ends up in our oceans and bodies. Today, a coalition of 500 environmental groups is issuing a call to action to members of the Biden transition team. They've come up with 8 steps they say the new president can take to reduce plastic pollution without congressional approval. And one of the leaders of this effort is Judith Ink. She's a former EPA regional administrator and president of the advocacy group Beyond Plastics. And Judith, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
On the top of your list, a ban on purchasing single-use plastic like utensils at federal departments. Why is this number one?
The federal government is the single largest purchaser of goods and services in the country.
Really?
Yeah. We spend $450 billion on products and services every year. So if the Biden-Harris administration were to say, let's not use our federal purchasing power to buy single-use plastic, that would go a long way. It reminds me of decades ago when I believe it was President Clinton issued an executive order directing federal agencies to only buy recycled paper whenever possible. Mm-hmm. That really prompted the market for recycled paper. So we're looking for the federal government to use its immense purchasing power to drive down plastic pollution.
Also, you're recommending suspending or denying permits for new or expanded plastics production facilities where there's a lot of fracking. Why are you focusing on permits for plastics production facilities, and what's the connection to fracking?
Well, there are over 300 new plastic production projects or expansions planned in the country. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that plastics historically made from oil and toxic chemicals are now made from a byproduct of fracking called ethane and chemicals. And so we see this enormous increase in the use of the byproduct of fracking to make plastic products, to make plastics cheaper. President Trump went to a facility in Pennsylvania that's slated to open next year twice already. These facilities are almost always sited in low-income communities and communities of color. So this is a very important environmental justice issue. So we think the federal government should deny permits for new or expanded plastic production facilities. I don't think the public knows the move here by the petrochemical industry. One reason this is happening is because the demand for fossil fuel is reducing because people are shifting to renewable energy sources, cleaner transportation choices. So fossil fuel companies and chemical companies look at plastic production as their plan B to keep their market profitable, at the expense of people living in these communities. And also, these facilities emit massive amounts of carbon. I call them super emitters of carbon. So as we're working, for instance, to shut coal-fired power plants, we don't want plastic production facilities to replace those carbon emissions that are very much warming our planet.
And just so I'm clear, that ethane production is instrumental in producing single-use plastics. So we're talking about plastic bags, food wrappers, those types of things.
Exactly. Things that you see littered on city streets, on beaches, that ultimately get washed into rivers and oceans. And one reason why businesses use these cheap single-use plastic packaging products is because they're inexpensive. And if these ethane, they're called ethane cracker facilities, funny name, but what happens is they heat the ethane to a very high temperature and crack it. That's why it's called a cracker facility. And then that becomes the building block of single-use plastic packaging. So cheap plastic packaging will get even cheaper if these facilities come online.
You're also taking a stand against something else, a new type of plastics recycling called chemical recycling, which is using chemicals to break down plastics for reuse. Why is that? And what do you feel the Biden administration should do about it?
Well, chemical recycling doesn't work. The concept is that you're going to mix all plastic waste together, heat it, melt it, and use it for a new plastic product. It's more of a press release than an actual solution to the problem of plastic production. These facilities have failed all over the world. There are dozens of press releases announcing the facilities that never get built. So it's more public relations than actual progress on the issue. And it doesn't get to the fundamental thing that we need to do, which is turn off the tap of plastic production. Only about 8.5% of plastics in this country are actually recycled. And for decades, the public was treated to advertising by the petrochemical industry telling us, keep using plastic, just toss it in your recycling bin, when over 90% of plastics in this country are not recycled. So we don't think that it's wise to prop up false solutions like chemical recycling or incineration or trying to turn plastics into fuel, rather than wasting valuable time and resources, often tax dollar subsidies on these facilities.
Well, yes, there are 9 states that are allowing chemical recycling facilities to be regulated as manufacturers rather than solid waste operations. So this is actually seen as a path forward. You're saying, though, it's not. It is really a press release, as you have pointed out.
Correct.
Okay, so the head of the Healthcare Plastics Recycling Council has told us that the Cleveland Clinic is actually looking to set up a contract to do chemical recycling. Even if it's just a little bit effective, isn't it better than not recycling any plastic medical waste?
Well, you know, medical waste poses unique problems, especially during COVID. And one of the biggest problems is the large number of masks that we see littered on the street. You know, I think hospitals need to look at reusable products whenever they can. Hospitals used to have large commercial laundry operations where gowns and masks could be laundered and reused, and then you don't run the risk of running out of this material. And then for you and me, investing in reusable masks so they're not single-use disposable. I don't want to do anything to discourage mask wearing. I think it's a public health imperative. But walk down, you know, I was literally on a mountain trail recently and, of course, saw a mask on the ground. And a lot of these masks are washed into storm drains that get into rivers and then the ocean. By 2050, there will be more plastic in the ocean by weight than fish. So we have a lot of work to do. And I am hopeful that the incoming Biden administration will really make a difference.
Judith, while I have you, you mentioned finding a mask while on a walk, on a trail walk. What about all of the plastic takeout food containers that people are throwing out during the pandemic? We remember how you told us last year that no one, especially women of childbearing age, should use these black plastic containers since it's recycled computer equipment. Is there an effort that you know of to reduce that plastic, for instance, to get restaurants to use tin bottoms, which are completely recyclable?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we all want to support our local restaurants, but you shouldn't get a massive serving of plastic when you just want to get a burrito or a salad. So one thing that my organization, Beyond Plastics, is doing is urging food delivery apps not to automatically include utensils, napkins, condiments, unless the consumer specifically asks for that. One big app company has already done that. So I think, you know, businesses are not going to change on their own because plastic is cheap. So in New York State, for instance, they have banned polystyrene foam for most food packaging. That doesn't take effect until 2022. So I think the solution is local and state laws that prohibit the use of some of the worst offenders. And I'll just briefly add that there are a small number of environmental entrepreneurial companies popping up that are offering reusable packaging. So when you place your order and they deliver it to you, you can hand back your hopefully rinsed, empty container. We need to see a real shift to a reuse economy that ultimately will save businesses money because they won't have to purchase all of the single-use plastic packaging over and over again.
That's Judith Ink. She's a former EPA regional administrator and president of Beyond Plastics and one of the authors of the Presidential Plastic Action Plan. We will have more on Judith's effort at hereandnow.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tanya.